fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning. This is Peter Herbeck, and I want to continue to make our way through the Acts of the Apostles today. There's a great reading. Actually, it was yesterday. Yesterday morning, the reading at Mass was the Acts chapter 11, where St. Peter stands before the brethren in Jerusalem and gives account of why he violated the customs of the people, the law, when he had table fellowship with Gentiles. He went into the house of Cornelius. He did what he wasn't supposed to do. Cornelius was considered, his house would be considered unclean, and the Apostle Peter shouldn't enter that house. And what we see is a very important transition in the extending of the kingdom of God to the world. Going all the way back to Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up under the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised, and he's being moved, and really, Pope John Paul II said, when the Holy Spirit came, he stirred the deepest energies of the apostles and thrust them into the marketplace to begin to proclaim the truth about who Jesus is. And in the second chapter of Acts, where Peter stands up among the 11, and he begins to tell everyone who's gathered there on that day, there's representatives from all the 12 tribes of the people of Israel gathered on the day of Pentecost, because Pentecost was a Jewish feast. It was a feast they've commanded to come to Jerusalem and celebrate the feast. It's the memory of the giving of the law. It was a harvest of first fruits, if I remember correctly. So Peter's standing up and he's explaining to the people what they're seeing, because the apostles are out proclaiming the gospel and they're on fire and they're filled with the Holy Spirit and there's great authority in them. And people thought that what they saw was so dramatic, they thought the apostles were drunk. And so Peter interprets for them what they're seeing. He said, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be that God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Here Peter's interpreting the significance of what they're witnessing. This is the fulfillment, he says, of the prophecy of the prophet Joel. First line, "and in the last days it shall be." So Peter's making clear we're in the last days. What are the last days? The last days of human history. The final period between the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, really the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the beginning of the Messianic age, the last hour of human history, the last days are the days between the first and second coming of the Messiah, of Jesus. He's brought the word of salvation to the world. He's brought the gospel. He's given the Holy Spirit to bring about the transformation of life, to pass from death to life, to share in what is essentially the new kingdom. Everything Jesus said in John's gospel, the flesh is useless, the spirit gives life. Everything that is not in Christ is useless ultimately. That is, it will pass away at the end of this last age. It will not endure. The only thing that will live is what's animated by Christ, by the Holy Spirit given by Jesus. The Holy Spirit's being poured out in these last days. That's what makes it the last days, is repentance for the forgiveness of sins is being offered, and new life in baptism, the life of Christ, is being poured out into the world for the salvation of all those who receive it. That's the nature and the character of these last days. "In these last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day, and it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In this time now, before the return of the Lord, when the final sign, when the sun will turn to dark and the return of the Lord will come for the final judgment, now all who call on the name of the Lord in this time will be saved. That's why the church goes forth with such urgency. This anointing and grace that's on Peter, the Holy Spirit moves Peter to take it, the gospel, to the Gentiles, because it's destined in these last days for the Holy Spirit to fall on all flesh. So Peter did go to the Gentiles. He went to speak the gospel to Cornelius, a soldier that's described in the beginning of chapter 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion. That's a soldier over responsible for 100 soldiers of what was known as the Italian cohort. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms liberally to the people, and he prayed constantly to God. Isn't that wonderful? He got God's attention. This is the man. This is the doorway. This is the first Gentile to receive the gospel and to be saved. And he received a vision, and he was called to send his servants to go get Peter. Now, here Peter recalls to the apostles who are challenging him now by taking the gospel to Cornelius and going to Cornelius' household. Peter explains to them what happened. He said, the apostles and the brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers confronted him, saying, the circumcised believers means the Jewish leaders at the time who had believed in Jesus. You entered the house of uncircumcised people and you ate with them. So he did something that was unclean, that would have made Peter unclean. So Peter began and explained to them step by step, saying, I was at prayer in the city of Joppa, when in a trance I had a vision, something resembling a large sheet coming down. Think about what Peter's saying. He's having a vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, will prophesy. So this is the age. This is what happens in these last days before the final return of Jesus. It's the time of the Spirit. So Peter's in the Holy Spirit on the Lord's Day, right? So he says he saw a vision while he was in a trance, something resembling a large sheet coming down from heaven, lowered from the sky by its four corners, and it came to me. Looking intently into it, I observed and saw the four-legged animals of the earth, the wild beasts, the reptiles, and birds of the sky. I also heard a voice say to me, get up, Peter, slaughter and eat. But I said, certainly not, sir, because nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. Some of what was here was unclean, and it was not kosher, and Jews were not supposed to eat it. And Peter said, no, I can't. This can't be right, because I've never violated the law. I've always kept the law, and I've remained clean when it comes to this. But a second time, a voice from heaven answered, what God has made clean, you are not to call profane. This happened three times. And then everything was drawn up again into the sky. Just then, three men appeared at the house where we were, men who had been sent to me from Caesarea, really from Cornelius. The Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. So the Spirit leads Peter into a deep, deep prayer. It's the Spirit who reveals God's plan to Peter, really a form of revelation and prophecy for him. And then the Spirit told Peter to accompany the men sent from Caesarea without discriminating against them, without saying, no, these are Gentiles, these are unclean people, I'm not going to go with them, and I'm certainly not going to enter their house, and I'm certainly not going to sit at their table and eat unclean food. It's not going to happen. But instead, Peter's now being led by the Spirit, and he's obedient to the Holy Spirit. And it's Peter's cooperation and obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit that allows the gospel to go to the Gentiles. These six brothers also went with me, Peter said about the six of his companions, and we entered the man's house. He related to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house saying to him, send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved. So the Spirit is prompting Cornelius, preparing him to receive a word. And this is such a beautiful and important thing for us to see. He will speak to you words by which you and all your household will be saved. Faith comes through hearing, St. Paul tells us, and what it's heard is the word of God. God has decided, through the foolishness of what we preach, to save those who believe. It's crucial that we preach the gospel, that we speak the words of Jesus that we've been sent to speak. So, Peter goes on, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift he gave us, when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to be able to hinder God? When they heard this, they stopped objecting. They glorified God, saying, God has then granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles too. It's a beautiful, beautiful scene. Peter is obeying the Holy Spirit, and he said, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles just like it fell on us in the upper room, as Jesus planned. Jesus said to us, go and wait until you receive power from on high. Christianity is a religion of power, but not worldly power, guns and might and money and weight. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sends his power to build his church his way. And the Holy Spirit was manifested there. Peter recognized the Holy Spirit because he experienced the Holy Spirit in his own life. And he remembers and he saw and he will see time and time and time again throughout the rest of his life in ministry. He knows when the Holy Spirit's coming. He knows what the work of the Spirit looks like when the Spirit falls upon human flesh, when people are animated, when their hearts are set on fire, when their face is aglow with God and the love of God is being poured into their hearts. He knows what it looks like. And he said, what happened to us was happening to them. And I remembered what Jesus said, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he said, brothers, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit right before my eyes. The Gentiles were baptized. And the brothers glorified God. And they said, wow, God is granting life-giving repentance to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are now sharing in the promise. The Gentiles are being set free. They're being saved. They're repenting of their sins. And in that repentance, they're receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is the essence of Christianity. This is what it means to become a believer. This is what it means to enter into the body of Christ. And in this miracle, Jew and Gentile are now becoming one in Jesus Christ. This is a miracle that only Jesus and his Spirit can produce, and he wants to work it in us. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.